Hello and welcome to Kayncast, a podcast that provides commentary on the economy and financial markets by the Kayne Anderson Rudnick Investment Management Team.
Hello, this is Ben Falcone, Managing Director with Kayne Anderson Rudnick. And with me today, I have Julie Beal, Portfolio Manager and Chief Market Strategist for KAR. Welcome back, Julie. Julie, the third quarter has seen a continuation of robust performance in markets from the second quarter. The Russell 2000 outperformed the S&P 500, but with high beta, low quality stocks leading the way. Can you give your view of market performance in the third quarter and this year?
So the third quarter actually was this continuation of what we had seen in the second quarter, but there was an unusual new addition to the group. So we saw continued strength in the NASDAQ, the Magnificent Seven, any name connected to AI. But suddenly, after the Fed announced rate cuts, we saw strong performance in the Russell 2000. The Russell 2000 outperformed the S&P, it outperformed the NASDAQ, and it outperformed the S&P 600, which is this collection of small cap companies that are profitable. So what does that tell us? If we really look at the components of that, we can see that the things that really, really did well during the third quarter were higher beta companies that had no earnings yet, companies that are still pretty speculative. So biotech was a big performer. And we saw a lot of strength as well in anything connected to quantum computing. Again, that is technology that is still many, many years away. And so most of those businesses don't even have revenue. It was a very unusual dynamic. And I think it's a continuation of trends where we have a lot of enthusiasm that is tempered by concerns about the strength of the labor market, the economy, and also some concerns of what's going to happen with inflation and the Fed.
Julie, do you think the Fed cutting rates and signaling more to come is the catalyst for small and mid caps to outperform going forward?
So if we think about why the Russell 2000 outperformed so dramatically, it really is, I think, initially down to the Fed cutting interest rates. Now, most small cap companies were more negatively impacted by the rise in interest rates. They tend to borrow directly from their banks at variable rates, unlike most of the, you know, larger cap companies that can go to the debt markets and issue fixed rate debt. They had less of an impact. And so small cap interest costs increased quite a bit in the most recent period. And that has really been a headwind to being able to deliver any kind of real earnings growth. I think that is one reason why we suddenly saw a big increase in small cap stocks as a result of the Fed finally deciding to start cutting rates. What is interesting is that this really benefited the companies that we would consider lower quality. So anything that was higher beta, anything that does not yet have earnings, we would call that a long duration asset, right? A company that is not yet delivering earnings, it has earnings way out into the future. If there's a lower interest rate out there, that means that when we discount those future profits, we discount them at a lower rate. And so that is why the valuations of a lot of those companies went up. It also favored companies that had higher debt levels, and that's because they're going to get a real earnings benefit from having lower interest costs. So the question really becomes, is this a catalyst and are they going to outperform going forward? Well, as you all know, I don't love to pontificate on whether or not I know or predict something with certainty. What I will say is that lower interest rates tend to be pretty positive for small caps and mid caps, but there is a caveat to that, and it's that if interest rates are declining because the Fed is cutting rates because inflation has gone away, that should be pretty positive. If the Fed is cutting because they are concerned about the economy, that could be negative for small and mid-cap companies. Many of them are more economically sensitive, and so that could actually put a damper on the enthusiasm that we've seen. What I think is more important than any of this is just, are they able to finally deliver some real earnings growth? Forecasts appear pretty positive as far as being able to deliver double-digit earnings growth in 2026. And so I think that's actually going to be more important for the long-term health of this group of stocks. But in the near term, people are really using the Fed as a gauge for whether or not they should be invested in small and mid-cap.
Julie, seemingly the market has strongly rewarded businesses within the AI ecosystem, such as, of course, hyperscalers, as well as quantum computing and power generation companies, to name a few, while punishing businesses impacted by near-term uncertainty from tariffs and/or adjusting for potential slower CapEx and consumer tightening. Is that fair? And can you give examples?
So if we look at the mix of businesses that have been rewarded in the AI ecosystem, it has been kind of interesting because obviously we know the hyperscalers, we know the kind of Magnificent Seven, the NVIDIAs, the direct beneficiaries of the AI ecosystem coming to life. But we also know that there are other technologies and other companies that are really getting pulled in with them. They may include things like quantum computing, which we've talked about before. Again, that is really pioneering, bleeding edge technology that is not yet profitable, in many cases not even yet producing revenue, but has a lot of potential for the future. It also has included power generation companies. We've also seen companies that are involved in the CapEx cycle, in the building out of this. So we know about companies that are involved with, let's say, energy management, companies that are doing HVAC for these large data centers. If I think about businesses that have been really hurt, many of them are ones that are either connected to tariffs and having a harder time, or they're ones where investors have concerns that is there an existential risk of the AI and generative AI and the ability to search? So will we see, you know, marketplace companies, companies that list things like Zillow, will they be disintermediated by ChatGPT? Anything that has a whiff of that has really been a place of concern. Consumer discretionary, especially at the low end, has also been a place of concern as those lower income consumers are really stretched in terms of their incremental dollar that they're earning. So I think if I think about, you know, the broader landscape, it's kind of a tale of two cities. Anything connected to AI has really been swept up by a lot of enthusiasm. And anything that has really been touched by tariffs or is potentially seeing consumer tightening, that's a place where those stocks have been hurt.
Julie, can you give your thoughts on business CapEx and consumer spending going into 2026? Do you think there's more of the same as mentioned previously, or do you see potential for change? And will the big, beautiful bill have a positive impact?
You know, I think that the as an investor, you know, if I'm putting my investor hat on, one thing that is really problematic and can really undo a great compounder story is customer concentration. And that's just because it's less so that you run the risk of a customer deciding to kind of up and leave their business. But if they suddenly really slow down their business, it really negatively impacts you and it really negatively impacts the stock. So whenever I'm looking at a company, I always want to see that there's not a lot of customer concentration. If I think about the US economy and if I think about the S&P 500 CapEx, to think that there are four companies that are driving 30% of that CapEx over the last 12 months, that gives me some pause, right? It doesn't take a lot for one of those boards of directors to say, you know what, instead of growing 40% with our CapEx, let's just grow 30%. And the size and scale of this CapEx, and also the amount of attention that these companies derive on that, I think that that makes us a little bit vulnerable in terms of what are they going to do next. So that is a place where I have a little bit of concern. If you add that to the fact that there are continue to be studies that large-scale AI implementations in enterprise, in the workforce, have been mixed at best, I would say. You know, I think many projects are proving to be more difficult to implement. A lot of people have this sensation that the technology is very exciting, but maybe it's not ready for prime time. Maybe we're not ready to completely delegate away to that. And so I think that that mix leaves us a little bit vulnerable on this theme. I still think over the very long term that everything connected to AI or most things connected to AI have a lot of potential for growth. But I do think it'll be bumpy, just like most other technology transitions. If we think of the telecom overbuilding that happened, you know, as the internet was dawning, that was a process that took many years to unravel. We overbuilt our telecom capacity, and it took time to really grow into that. I'm not saying that that's what's happening here, but I'm saying that there is the potential for that. And because so much of our economy's CapEx is tied to four companies, that leaves us a little bit vulnerable. Now, if I think about consumer spending, I've been really impressed how well that has hung in there. And I think that's tied to the fact that the economy still is doing okay. We have a pretty good labor market. I would characterize it as a little bit frozen, where people aren't letting anyone go, but they're also not really hiring. And that creates a lot of stagnation for many, many people out there. If you lose your job right now, it's been proving quite hard to find work. And we're hearing that many young grads are really struggling to find employment after graduation. So that's a point of concern that I have. But for the most part, you know, it is still quite a healthy labor market. Unemployment rate is still quite low. And as a result, we see spending staying strong. The one caveat I have to that is the mix of spending has shifted more towards the high-income consumer. Typically, the high-income consumer obviously spent more than, you know, the average person, but they didn't drive quite so much of it. You have a certain segment, call it 10% of the market, that's doing 50% of the spending. That's not a great dynamic. Again, kind of a little bit like with our customer concentration. You would rather see broader based demand. And so that's something that we'll kind of keep an eye out with what data, I'm not sure, but it's something to bear in mind. Now, I think one question is, will the big, beautiful bill have a positive impact? And I think it has the potential to neutralize a lot of the negative impacts that we've seen from tariffs. So part of it is this accelerated depreciation, which could be positive for corporate profitability. A lower tax rate should be positive for corporate profitability. There are line items of the big, beautiful bill that could support a lower and middle income consumer. I think the net overall impact of that is still in the future, right? Those refund checks won't be happening until midway through the first quarter into the second quarter. So we have to wait a little bit on that. But in the interim, I think there is potential for it to have a positive impact in terms of mostly neutralizing the negative impact of tariffs.
Julie, as we are now three quarters of the way through the year, how do you see earnings growth playing out for 2025? Will companies outside of the AI ecosystem generally see slower earnings growth, or is there optimism for better?
I think that earnings growth, this has been an interesting earnings season as we are in the third quarter. You know, we saw analyst expectations actually increase as the quarter went on. That's a very positive thing. And I think we expect there to be reasonable growth, kind of high single digits for the S&P 500 and low double digits as we go out for smaller and mid-cap companies. And so that's a pretty healthy backdrop. And I think it really reflects the level of ingenuity that corporations are bringing to their business. And generally speaking, I think I agree with the rule that if corporate profitability is holding up and growing, you know, the economy can stay out of trouble. I think that's true. But I do think that we want to be really thoughtful about which companies are driving the leadership and not just look at benchmarks in aggregate, but look under the hood. Because if our economy is dependent on, you know, anything connected to the AI theme for its growth, that leaves us a little bit vulnerable. We would want to see more growth throughout the rest of the economy. And I think we are seeing parts of that. I think seeing more broad-based growth in small cap is going to be a really encouraging sign for investors.
Lastly, Julie, how do valuations look across the market going into 2026, highlighting opportunities and where there are potential risks?
If I think about valuations going into 2026, for sure, you know, we've continued to be a little bit concerned about how stretched valuations look particularly in large cap, even if you take out the Magnificent Seven. And I think that is a place where there's vulnerability in the market. You see that when there is kind of a whiff of bad news or concern, the markets correct quite quickly. And I think that's just a reflection that valuations are high, expectations are high, and investors are in no mood to put up with stories that are anything but perfectly clean. So I think that is a little bit of a place where I think earnings seasons are more volatile than they have been. You know, I think I've been doing this for 20-ish years, and most earnings seasons, you'd see stocks go up 2%, 3% once they announced earnings, go up or down. And we are just regularly seeing up 10, up 20, down 10, down 20. It's a little bit of a different dynamic than we used to have. And I really just think it's a function of people are letting narrative really drive stock prices in the interim periods between the actual earnings periods. And then the idiosyncratic things that impact a company, a specific company, those are the things that actually really drive earnings. And that is what actually gets trued up one way or the other, up or down, based on how the actual performance is happening and how guidance. I think guidance just becomes more and more important when you have this level of uncertainty. And I think there's more vulnerability from a valuation standpoint on large cap. Small cap still looks fairly reasonably priced, particularly when you're looking at the S&P 600 relative to the Russell 2000.
Julie, as always, thanks for taking this time to provide your insight to our Canecast listeners.
You've just listened to Canecast. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or Spotify. For more of our investing insights, head over to our website, www.cane.com. Canecast is the official podcast series of Kayne Anderson Rudnick Investment Management, CAR. This material is provided as a matter of general information and is not intended to be relied upon as a forecast or research. The opinions expressed herein are those of the speakers and are not necessarily the opinions of CAR or its affiliates, are current as of the date and time of the recording, and are subject to change at any time due to changes in market or economic conditions. The information and opinions contained in this material are derived from proprietary and non-proprietary sources deemed by CAR to be reliable and are not necessarily all-inclusive. CAR does not guarantee the accuracy or completeness of this information. This communication should not be construed as an offer or solicitation to purchase or sell any security. Individuals should consult with a qualified financial professional before making any investment decisions. Reliance upon information in this material is at the sole discretion of the listener. To the extent any performance is discussed, past performance is not indicative of future results.